Before history was even written, leaven was used in bread. Leaven is a yeast. Leaven is a yeast that expands, that grows, that works its way through the bread in such a way that it causes the bread to rise. In showing the unleavened bread, God is showing that there is a removal of sin. You see, you've got to remember something about the people of God. Sin expands and grows in our own hearts. So God's teaching in the Feast of Unleavened Bread at a very early stage of redemptive history, the importance of sanctification, the importance of removing sin individually, first of all, from our hearts through repentance. You remember in the scripture reading, Jesus says, "Beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Beware that corruption. Beware the leaven that has expanded from the individual Pharisee all the way to the entire Sanhedrin. This falsehood, this hypocrisy, this untruth. And so the yeast in this festival was to be removed from everywhere in order to teach the people through images what God expected them in being holy as He is holy. Think about it. As leaven expands and grows in the bread, so sin expands and grows in our hearts. And it's important to remember that as the people of God today, in the fulfillment of the Passover feast or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, all the feasts come together in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has, in His redemption for His people, caused a decisive break from sin. That's why Romans 6, Paul says, "You have died with Christ. Having been justified, you have peace with God because you have been reconciled." You see, in Christ, we have a decisive break with sin. And so in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we don't practice it merely once a year. We practice it every day in the unleavening process of repentance. When sin is allowed access to our hearts, it expands and it grows. It needs darkness and loneliness to thrive, but it will thrive. And we all have to be warned of that. You see, as they were utterly dependent on God for their deliverance, utterly dependent on God each day for their provision, and ultimately for their development, so are we in Christ. How much more are we in Christ now that Christ has come and not merely redeemed us from Egypt, but delivered us from sin, hell, and the devil and our own flesh? Let me ask you something. I mean, this is important that we understand that we are saved in order to be sanctified. We are the firstborn of the brethren because we're in Christ. Christ is the firstborn of the brethren. We all are the lastborn. Sinners are all lastborns, if you will. But in Christ, we are made firstborn sons, heir to the privileges and the benefits of Christ. But you see, we're saved in order to be sanctified. You know, we are taken out of the world in the church in order to grow in holiness and in the likeness of our Heavenly Father. That's the unleavened bread. That's the Feast of Unleavened Bread now that we all celebrate. Let me ask you a question. This was important just once a year because they were preparing for the substitutionary lamb. Now that the lamb, Jesus Christ, has been sacrificed once and for all, we are called to be holy as He's holy, and we're called to remove the leaven that grows and expands in our own heart. Let me ask you a question. When we want something or desire something inordinately, something we begin to love or trust greater than God, a control, or security, we're committing idolatry from the heart. We're allowing sin to control us. You know, how many of us today have private sins that we're keeping from the living God? You see, you have a sin of profaning God's name. Oftentimes, we are reminded that what comes out of our mouth is a reflection of what's in our heart. Do we honor our fathers and mothers? Are we honoring the right authorities? Are we caught up in a sexual sin of some sort? Are we caught up in hatred or lying? Are we caught up in unforgiveness? You see, the people of God from the very beginning, through this Feast of Unleavened Bread, they were to have a very high view of sin. Let me explain what I mean by that. They would understand that sin is any want of or lack of conformity unto the law of God. That meant when the law was preached, the individual was to see that sin, to repent of that sin, to live a life of repentance, particularly in that festival week, was to teach them with images in order to prepare for that sacrificed lamb who was their substitute, to remind them of their deliverance of Egypt and the Messiah who would come in time. But if you remember in the New Testament, when John the Baptist comes preaching repentance, the Pharisees and the Sadducees are surprised that he's asking for this. And yet this is exactly what the Feast of Unleavened Bread was to teach them, was a constant repentant attitude, a constant dependence upon God's grace, not just from the beginning, but daily as we confess our sins and He forgives our transgressions, just as we find in Psalm 32 that we read today for our absolution. There was a constant dependence upon God's grace that wasn't there for them. And it's interesting that Jesus takes that imagery of leaven to speak of their hypocrisy. That is, those hidden sins they had. The things that they were hiding from everyone else, trying and attempting self-righteously to keep the law. And He says, beware that teaching. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. So the New Testament helps us to understand how we daily, as the people of God, as the congregation of Israel, continue to keep this feast in Christ. Our Passover lamb has been sacrificed, and so we remove the leaven individually from our families and corporately as a congregation. A low view of sin, a low view, that is a lack of really appreciating the power and the strength of flesh and sin, will cause you to have a very low view of grace and salvation and sanctification. You know, a high view of sin, a reality that the sin that so easily besets us that the author of Hebrews talks about is serious. He says, encourage each other one another a day that no evil, unbelieving heart might grow, that sin would not expand, that it wouldn't leaven your heart, that it wouldn't cause you to live a certain way, but to live repentantly. Listen to what the larger catechism, how it answers the question, what is sin? It's very important. A high view of sin, that is, a high view of the power of what sin can do to a person, a family, a church, will lead to repentance and a total reliance upon God's grace. That was the important point that the Feast of Unleavened Bread was supposed to teach the Israelites each year. Larger Catechism says, what is sin? And it answers, sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of any law of God given as a rule to the reasonable creature. We know from James that any transgression of the law, you're guilty of breaking all of it. So the unleavening process in the imagery of the Feast of Unleavened Bread was to live repentantly that week, turning away from sin, removing the sin within the individual, removing sin from the house, removing sin from the territories, removing sin from the entire congregation of Israel. If anyone was caught with leaven, they would be cut off. That was how serious God was saying, I take it very seriously. I don't want to find any yeast or unleaven among you. The hope of that feast was at the end of it. There was bloodshed for sinners. There was bloodshed for sinners who still had the leaven in their heart. Leaven might have been removed from the house. Leaven might have been removed from the territory. But the teaching of that, the reality was, the leaven had yet to be removed from the heart. They needed to have their hearts circumcised. They needed to continually depend upon the promises and the grace and the faithfulness of God. And then at the end of the feast, they were to see the substitute lamb because they were yet to be unleavened. They were to see the lamb, unleavened lamb, the lamb without blemish, who shed blood for those leavened sinners. That's why in the New Testament time, as we come to the fulfillment of the Passover, we tell you to prepare your hearts to come to the table, to examine yourselves, as 1 Corinthians says. Why? Well, because you're approaching the table of the Passover. Your whole life should be lived in anticipation of the Lamb who was slain for you once and for all. He who had no sin became sin for you so that you might be the righteousness of God. He delivered you, not when you were looking or hoping. He delivered you by His grace while you were yet dead in transgressions and sins, so that you might be made alive and might be made like your Heavenly Father in heaven, you see. Your Heavenly Father. And so we keep the Passover, if you will, by preparation of our hearts, individually as well as corporately. I want to say something that oftentimes we look at one side of the leaven. One side of the leaven is that it is a negative image in Scripture. It's representative of sin. Okay. It's representative of hypocrisy. That's what Jesus says. He says, beware the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So it's made up of errors, lies. But there's also another image that I want you to know as the people of God for leaven. And that's in the parables of Jesus. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like a woman who takes a little bit of leaven and puts it in the bread, and it works through the entire bread. You see, the hope for sinners is that the unleavening process is in the hands of God. As we continue to live a life of repentance before Him, He continues to cleanse our hearts as we confess to Him our unrighteousness. And as sin is removed or unleavened from our hearts, so the leaven of God's kingdom and righteousness begins to saturate and expand and spread within our hearts and minds so that we live obediently before Him. Holiness is a beautiful thing. Holiness is not some kind of legalism. It's way underrated in our times. Holiness means you begin to take upon yourself the very look of Jesus Christ, that you're being conformed back into His image as the leaven of the kingdom, as leaven of word, as leaven of sacrament, the means of grace, people of God. As you receive these by faith, you're being leavened by the kingdom so that you might live upright and holy lives. As you repent of your sins, you await the time of hearing the word once a week and taking part of the sacrament so that you can be changed, you see. God's always done it through word and sacrament. He did it in different images at different time periods in history. But you know what? He gives to us this unleavening by His grace so that we will remember our deliverance in Jesus Christ when a very specific break from sin happened. As Paul says, you've died to sin. How can you live in it any longer? A total dependence upon God for His Word, for our understanding of His Word, for our very obedience to His Word, for we to have a humble, repentant heart. We utterly depend upon God to give to us. Do you pray that? I encourage you to pray that God give you repentance daily. Ask Him to help you. Repent of your best repentance and ask Him to help you to unleaven your hearts and your minds. No longer be conformed to the pattern of this age, Paul says, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, your hearts. You see, that's the unleavening. And we trust that He who began a good work in this deliverance, that He will finish it and accomplish it. Allow me to read to you, if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 5, I'd like to read a passage that's very important for our understanding of the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Passover. And just as you're turning, remember an interpretive or hermeneutical rule is all the feasts of Israel are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. You are the people who are united to Jesus Christ, and you keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread as you live repentantly, constantly looking to Christ. You know what kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread from being just a merely a moralistic or legalistic kind of image or sermon from God all week long? You know, knowing that the bread was unleavened, knowing that we were having to remove that, and that symbolized sanctification or removing the sin from our hearts. It was that the focus of the entire feast was on the Passover lamb. the focus of your entire lives should be on the Passover Lamb, people of God, the Christ who died for sinners. It's not on you the attention should be. It's on the Christ, the Passover Lamb, who's been sacrificed. I want to read 1 Corinthians 5. It's not merely that we individually remove sin. In the Reformation, one of the three marks of the church was discipline. Discipline is restoration. Discipline as when the congregation of saints came together and they very carefully would have to judge people or discipline people for living in sin, because it leavened the entire congregation. It affected the entire congregation of saints. So discipline, if you will, restorative discipline, discipline with an eye toward returning someone to repentant lifestyle and looking to Christ, was to preserve the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacrament, to not only keep the one individual from ruining their life, but for keeping the church pure, you see. And so corporately we see this, individually and corporately, here in 1 Corinthians 5. Listen, Paul says, it's actually reported that there's sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that's not tolerated even among pagans, for a man has his father's wife, and you are arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. For though absent in body, I'm present in spirit, and as if present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. When you're assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you're to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. There's an individual aspect to our daily repentance, and there's a corporate aspect to our being a repentant people, being an unleavened people, because of God's deliverance in Christ. In Christ, we have all who believe, we have all made a decisive break from sin. We've died to the old way of doing things. Shall we keep on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. You've died to sin, the Apostle Paul says. Dying to sin means living repentantly. It means being a confessional people, confessing our sins to Christ, and if we've offended others, confessing our sins to them to ask for reconciliation and restoration. Sin's serious business, because it is like leaven. It expands. It works through the entire mind and heart. If you've ever experienced a little bit of anger that you let go on for a while, that turned into a grudge, that turned into unforgiveness, you probably have said with David that your bones, they were in pain until you confessed. We shall be an unleavened people because of our utter dependence upon God's grace. Not only the grace that by which we were saved through Christ, but the grace to continue to take us out of the world and the world out of us. And that's the hope of sanctification. Finally, we have this utter dependence on God for our development to be like Him. And so he gives to us means of grace. He gives us the word to teach us of Christ, of our Passover Lamb who has been sacrificed, to teach us how to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread today by living repentant lives, keeping our eyes on Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith. You see, he gives us sacraments, means of grace, real tangible means of grace, you see. Bread and wine. As we receive it, He feeds us with these things. When we're encouraged, especially with the Lord's Supper, but with the Word as well, but when we're encouraged to prepare our hearts, what we're saying there is to live as unleavened people, that to confess your sins in word, thought, and deed, and be a people who is coming to the Passover Lamb who has slain once and for all in order to make us like Him. So we can trust that He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we confess to Him. Frequent coming to the Lord's table, frequenting the Lord's table, coming as often as we can, along with hearing and believing the Word, is a objective means of grace Christ has given us to help us to unleaven ourselves, individually and corporately. And that's very good news. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank You for the provision You give to us for repentance. Lord, as the Israelites were to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, as a picture that You gave to them as the early church, as the church underage, as the church before the fullness of the times when Christ came, You taught them, You tutored them through images. You tutored them that You had delivered them from Egypt, and they were to have a yearly memorial, remembering not only that You delivered them from Egypt, that You would deliver them from Egypt within them, or their own hearts, and that You would sanctify them, that the firstborn Israel would begin to take on family resemblance. Lord, we thank You in the fullness of the times that Christ has come as our Passover lamb and has been sacrificed once and for all for the sins of Your people. We thank You that call us to repentance and ask that You would strengthen us individually and corporately as Your people to be a repentant people whose focus is on the Passover lamb, Christ, once and for all sacrificed for sinners like us. Lord, help those who are privately living in sin. Help them to know that You are a forgiving, merciful God. Help us to all live in haste, that is, to live watchful and sober in this present age, awaiting the return of the Lord Jesus, knowing that one day we will sit at the table of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the feast of the Lord, that feast that is to come, that this one's just a foreshadow of that. Help us to remember, Lord Jesus, You've consecrated us and called us, set apart. You've set us apart for service and for sanctification and for holiness. Make us a holy people, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.